Welcome to the iLEAP's Early Careers podcast, where we explore scientific research related to the biosphere and the atmosphere, and share the personal experiences of our early careers scientists as they navigate their way through academia. Our podcast today forms part of a series, which coincides with the iLEAP's conference during March 2021, and in which we hope to introduce you to some of the Scientific Steering Committee members and also the Early Careers Scientist Network Committee members, and through which we hope you learn more about the aims and motivation behind iLEAPs.
On today's podcast, we are talking with Professor Sebastian Lisenberg, who is a plant ecologist working at the interface of experimental and modeling work. Professor Sebastian was head of department of applied ecology until March 2020 at Auckland University of Technology in New Zealand. He is also a member of Scientific Steering Committee. And hi, Sebastian.
Hello, Eve. Hi.
Yeah, thank you for accepting the invitation.
No problem.
Yeah, and I saw somewhere you speak French.
Yeah, I speak French. I'm from Switzerland. Cool. German and French.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Okay, c'est super ça.
Ah, vous parlez français?
Oui, je suis francophone. Je suis francophone, je suis camerounais, mais bon, j'ai fait mes études à Nairobi.
Ah, ouais. Je comprends. Ouais. Ah, d'accord.
Ouais, super. Ok. Ok, bon, sans plus tarder, nous allons commencer évidemment en anglais. Yeah.
Je comprends.
Ok. Ok. So, ok. Please, could you tell us more about your scientific career and what really motivated you to become a scientist?
Yeah, sure. So I actually started off in my early studies were in Switzerland, and I then did my honours degree in Australia in reef ecology, so something quite different from what I'm doing now. And after my honours degree in Australia, I went back to Switzerland, mainly because I wanted to be back with my family, and then did a PhD in forest ecology, so I went away from marine again. And after that, I sort of stayed there in that area and both locally and also in the subject area, and did two postdocs, one at the University of Basel and then one in Zurich at ETH. And then I got my position in New Zealand, in Auckland, at the time as a senior lecturer in ecosystems ecology, they called it. So that's my career background, and iLEAPs came. I don't know. You probably want to ask about iLEAPs later.
Sure. yeah. But what really motivated you? Like, was it something in your environment? What really motivated you to become a scientist? Why not?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah.
Because I actually did a few months in the private industry. So I had an interesting experience after my first postdoc in Basel. I had one son, and then the second one was in the pipeline, a second child. And I failed that, you know, I'm on fixed term positions doing postdocs, and I felt a little bit insecure providing for the family. And I eventually accepted a job with the private industry, the Zurich Financial Services, which is very well paid and it was permanent. But I did the job for 3 months, and I nearly got depressed because it was so different from anything I had ever done. It was much less creative. And I just at that point realized how much I loved science. And I called my professor at the time, Christian Körner, and said, look, can I come back? And he said, yes, you can come back. Of course, it was for a fraction of the salary. And also it wasn't permanent, but I just didn't care anymore because I knew that I really wanted to do science rather than some job in a big company, which I didn't really know. You know, I didn't really understand what I was doing. I was just carrying out the task that I was told to do, which is so different. So I think I appreciate the creativity in science and the freedom that we still have, which is quite unique, I think, in today's world.
Yeah, you're right, Professor. It's really unique, the freedom of thinking. you can think wherever, however you want. And yeah, it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned about ILIPS, and as I said in my introducing word, like you are a member of scientific steering committee.
Mm-hmm.
What is your role? What is your role in the committee? What do you do?
That's interesting. The ILEAP story is interesting. So I gave a talk, I think, at an ILEAPs conference in maybe 2014, I think it was. And I kind of then wrote to the ILEAPs people and said, I don't really understand what this is. And they wrote back that, a bit more information, more of sort of information on the website, and they said we're actually recruiting for steering committee members. And I said, well, yeah, this was would interest me, and I applied and I got selected. And interestingly, after about a year or so, I didn't really understand what I was doing as a steering committee member. And I vividly remember going to a senior member's home, Hans Christian, in Stockholm. And I had a talk with him there. I can't remember why I ended up there, but he said, because I said to him, look, I still don't really know what ILEAPS, what we are doing, or my task is within ILEAPS. I've been to these, you know, at the time maybe it was one of the yearly conferences, and he said, you know, turn it around, make ILEAPS work for you. And now, having been on ILEAPS for almost 6 years on the steering committee and having gone to many conferences, I realized that this is exactly what happened. ILEAPS has opened so many doors. And what it really is, it is a networking community. That's all it is. So we don't do any research. We just facilitate research. Even this podcast that we're doing right now is part of talking to each other across continents. And it is difficult to appreciate how helpful this actually is until you look back. And I look back on 6 years of ILEAPS activities, and I think it's helped me enormously. It's opened so many doors. And I can thank ILEAPS, and I'm not sure how much I did for ILEAPS, but I hope that I can do the same and open doors for others, just via this sort of networking activity, which is really, really valuable in an individual career over time, I think.
Wow, this is very motivating, especially for us who are early career in ILEAPS. So it's really, really good motivation, networking and does it. And what will you give us advice to maybe a young scientist or early career scientist or to an undergrad student? What will you give your as advice? Yeah. How can he focus and become a really good scientist?
I think particularly, I mean, obviously there's things that are, you know, outside my control, is in everyone's control. Whether you become a good scientist is whether, you know, what sort of work you do, but when it comes to networking, I think I belong to a different generation in a way. So when I grew up scientifically, what was important were the conferences. I early on applied for, you know, to go on conferences and get stipends to get travel money and so on, and that really helped me. So it was the networking in person. And what I realized over the past, even before COVID, is that those who become really successful, I think, are those who can manage or who make use of social media and online networking, which is has become much, much more important, especially since COVID. So I think I'm not a Twitter user, but I can see a lot of young scientists become very successful using Twitter, having large, well, following communities or followers. I'm not into Twitter, you can tell. But I can see that they are well known, and they promote their papers, and they talk to other scientists, and they often get the news and the new papers before I see them via Twitter. So I think if I was to start again in these times, I think it would be, I would emphasize and put a lot of weight on social media and just try to play that game. And I think it can be a very good thing with all the distractions it brings. It is a good thing, particularly Twitter for science. It can really help to spread your science, to get to know other people, to network and to advertise your own work as well.
Yeah, that's right, that's true. Because today, social media has become a major player in networking, because today I can see what, as you explained, new research and discovering made somewhere else in the world via Twitter, by social media. Thank you very much, Professor. And Professor Sebastian, could you tell us more about your current research, what you're working on right now?
Yeah, sure. So, as you said, I was head of department for the past 4 years, which brings a lot of stuff that's not related to science at all. For example, you sit in health and safety meetings and you employ people and that sort of thing, which is very removed from what you think you'd be doing as a scientist. So that belongs to it as well. But I have given up on this, so I've retired from that position, and I have more time now for my research again, which really spans from small scale to very large scale. So on the one spectrum, on the one end of the spectrum, I research into water flow and carbon distribution in trees. One thing we did recently is we looked at root communication between trees, so how water flows between trees through root grafts, and generally sap flow in trees is one of my topics that I've looked at over many years. Another thing that interests me, and that's an example of the other end of the spectrum, is how ecosystems respond to global change drivers such as elevated CO2. Warming, elevated nitrogen inputs. And from my background was in a large CO2 experiment. And more recently, I have taken interest in drawing together results from many of these experiments, because they're logistically very difficult and very expensive. So we don't have very many worldwide. And I think it's very valuable to look at all of these experiments together, particularly in forests, but also in grassland, and see whether we can extract patterns across these experiments, which give much more robust information than information from a single site, you know, where there may be a particular soil type, for example, driving the response. So that's been a more recent project, and I'm involved in quite a few initiatives. One actually started via iLeaps, so it's another good example what iLeaps can do. So it was during an iLeaps conference, and iLeaps has supported this initiative as well financially. So that's just two examples out of a large spectrum. I have a student doing soil respiration and generally interested in carbon and water cycle, both at the scale of a tree or forest and then large scale as well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Professor Sebastian. And it was really a pleasure to discuss with you and discover more about you. And we will end the session here, and I will say thanks for accepting the invitation.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, Eve, and I wish you all the best, and good night in Nairobi.
So that concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening, and just to say, if you want to learn more about iLeaps, please go to our website, iLeaps.org. where you'll find a link to our early careers website, where you can follow us on Twitter at iLeaps_ECSN or our Facebook page. Thanks.